Welcome to Classic Comics Cavalcade. I'm Jason Sachs.
I'm Amir Malikpour.
And we are discussing Fantastic Four number 53 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Amir, what'd you think of this issue overall?
I thought it was a great introduction to the Black Panther mythos and his story. I liked the last issue, of course, but I liked this much better in terms of his introduction to him, showing his power, his nobility, his culture, and his most famous or first villain that he fights.
It's a fun issue. I'm not sure I like it as much as some of the other issues we've read. I guess we can talk about it. Sounds like you might have liked it a little bit more than I did.
I liked it more than the introduction of Black Panther. I just liked the introduction of him better. Yeah. And then I also liked the art. Yeah, I thought the art was pretty cool at some parts. For example, the first splash page in the beginning where the Fantastic Four is being introduced to the culture.
Yeah, let's just jump right into it then. Cover's okay, I think.
The cover is okay, yeah.
But this first page. Sorry, my navigation's not popping up. There we go. This first page is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great page. I don't even know if it doesn't even. I mean, it looks like a Jack Kirby, but does it look like a Jack Kirby page?
It's got to be Kirby, right? But
I'm sure it's just a little bit different that people are, I don't know. Maybe Sinnott went to town a little bit more, I feel like.
That makes a lot of sense to me. As soon as you said that, that's what I was thinking. Because you can see a lot of Sinnott's lines on this. I wonder how tightly Kirby penciled it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although, okay, so let me flip over to this page I was just sharing with you. So you can see how tight the inks are on some of these pages. This is a page we're going to get to in a minute. This is from Heritage. Yeah. So.
Like that face very tight, yeah.
And this is, of course, inked, right? But you could see the amount of work Sinnott puts into it. I wish we could see the original pencils to this. But I think it's really impressive, like just the amount of depth even in a page like this. So they go back to this one. Yeah, I bet it's fairly tight by Kirby, but Sinnott's got to be adding a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on too. Is that the other thing you were thinking about? Is just how much there is on this page?
Yeah, I just think that there's a lot. Like, I like Ben saying a bunch of Fred Astaire's, like everybody dancing, and they're being exposed to a new culture, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. This is as progressive as you get, I assume, in the 60s, maybe. Especially, well, yeah. I love the introduction because of the technology. Talk about the technology and, you know, one of the most advanced, maybe the most advanced society. I mean, this is 1960-something, right? 64, 63. And
we're still, like, very racist as a society at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember. I think it was either 67 or 68. The movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner came out, mm-hmm. where the white girl brings home Sidney Poitier to marry her. And mm-hmm. the parents, who are Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, are like completely torn about their daughter marrying a black man, even mm-hmm. like this highly educated, really smart, well spoken black man, Sidney Poitier. The joke for years has been, he's better than 90% of the white men she would have been at that time. He's like this incredibly polished professional guy. Mm-hmm. But even there, like there was such an embedded amount of racism in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the end, because Hepburn and Tracy kind of end up embracing him, it feels like this very progressive movie for that time. But of course, it's just like, it's absurd today.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I like about this page is like everyone's doing something else. First of all, everyone's in their own positions.
Yeah.
And they're sitting. And, you know, T'Challa's got his hands on his knees looking like a king. This is really nice little character building there. And mm-hmm. Ben's kind of slumped over. Sue's in this kind of demure position. Wyatt's okay, sitting like you might expect an Indian to look. That's not cool. But like then there's the guy at the bottom with his machine gun, and there's the dancers, and they're all in different positions. And then the band on the right side. It's like so much going on, and everyone's doing their own thing. Like it really feels like if you saw this in the movie. I don't know, I hate to keep up comparing to movies. This all feels so alive, like a movie.
I like their food too. It seems like it might be traditional. I don't know. That's like Eritrean. Have you ever had Eritrean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if that's. Yeah, anyway, it's kind of interesting.
That you never think about that in superhero comics, right? It does look like Eritrean food where they're going to grab it with their hands. And maybe Wyatt's got something a little different. Oops, went the wrong way.
I don't know. For 60s,
go ahead.
It's great. For 60s, 1960s, I'm very impressed by. I mean, maybe the dialogue, not so much, but the art meaning like being progressive. And I really think Jack Kirby, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading too much. I think Jack Kirby was such a progressive person. Like, just, yeah.
That's what everyone says about him. That's why we still love him so much as a hero today. He just really was like this person who loved, who didn't care at all about what people were externally. A couple things on this page. Actually, there's a lot of things on this page. The more we dig into these comics, like the deeper I appreciate them. That's why I love doing these shows with you, Amir.
Yeah, likewise, yeah.
Like Ben looks really awkward in panel one. Don't you think? Like he works like in panel three where he's walking, but like his arms over his shoulder in a shrugging position. He looks kind of weird, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean he's awkward because of the way he looks, you know, every time people see him for the first time. It's, you know, because, you know, now maybe people are used to seeing him in New York. So he's a little bit, but now that he's outside the country or outside the city, it's always like he's always going to look like a weird person.
That's why that panel two is so nice.
They're
not scared, right?
No, they're fascinated by him.
Yeah. That shows like the way the soul society is. Some places they would be scared of a giant monster with orange rocks all over him. And then panel three, we get like the past and the future all together.
Yeah, they're all in the same.
Okay, and then we get T'Challa lighting one up.
Cigarette, yeah.
What the hell? Sorry, that shocked me more than anything else. The entire comic is T'Challa lighting a ciggy. What do you make of that?
Because it was popular back then. I read somewhere that in the 60s, some people thought actually a cigarette is good for you.
Oh, they used to advertise it in magazines and stuff. That, you know, it'll help help you with your asthma and stuff.
In your breathing, yeah.
That's why it was all over the magazine. Yeah, it's crazy. Of course, he might not be smoking a cigarette either.
But blunt? No, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a pretty progressive dude. Actually, the Black Panther lives under a tragic curse. And then we get the flash away. What do you make of Claw's monsters?
It was all right. It was cool, but that wasn't like the best part.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting. He's got two. But we see two members of the Territorial Patrol. One's a white dude, and one's a black dude, and they're dressed differently. They obviously don't have uniforms. There must be some white people who live in Wakanda too.
Yeah. Well, Isn't Claw from that same area? I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that they're supposed to be like the colonizers.
Yeah, the colonizers, exactly. Do we know exactly where Wakanda is located at? Like Southern Africa, mid-Africa, you know, the West, East?
I don't think we've ever seen anything like from that time period that puts it somewhere in Africa. There's a map of Wakanda that McGregor and one of the people on staff created for Jungle Action, which is, you know, 7 years later than this, but it's just of the country. This is a cool image at the bottom of the page anyway.
It is, yeah. It's kind of cool.
It's fun, right?
The shape-shifting monster.
Looks like it was fun to create this thing. Elephant up on two legs. Kind of angry elephant up on two legs.
Mm-hmm.
And the look of fear on the men's faces is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can even tell from the body language of them that these two guys are used to being together. They're companions and friends, helping each other. I like the scene, though. It almost looks like a hurricane. I guess it is kind of like a hurricane on the top of page five.
Yeah. I like the way that Chala is describing this story. It's almost like traditional way of telling stories in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just love this whole idea of Wakanda, where it's like the mixture of history and your past. You know, having pride for your past, but also be like scientifically advanced more than anybody else.
Yeah. It's like your legacy and your future all together in one place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just noticing how he's carrying this red shield in front of him too. And it's like the boldest thing on the page and really connects him to his past. It's like this folk art design on the shield. It's like this subtle visual connection to the past.
And this is where we get introduced to the
to vibranium.
Vibranium, yeah.
Yeah, even Reed had never heard of it. Do you think Ben's a bit of an asshole in this issue?
Yeah, I think he is. I think sometimes I think he's like an idiot, and sometimes I think he's got like insecurities because of the way he looks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we read into it. This is a kid's comic book. So as an adult, I'll read extra stuff into it because that's what makes me feel better.
I was thinking about what you said last time, which is like Ben was a fighter pilot, which means he's smart enough, right? He's smart enough to fly a jet plane. You know, he's Ben's Reed's friend from college. He went to college.
Yeah.
But he acts like he's got an eighth grade education.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. It's like, I know in the we talked about it last time. In the 60s, if you're a pilot, you're like better than a surgeon. Like you make more money. You're like a superstar.
So why is he so disrespectful to this really impressive man in front of him? And the story he just told. I guess he's just trying to take the weight off of things a little bit.
Yeah.
But like the child looks like pissed off in panel three. It's like, so I'm boring you, am I? Like, what the fuck, dude?
I think Stan Lee just thought it's funny and you need like a comedic thing for the kids or whatever. You know, and he's something that the kids identify with. He's an outcast. He's kind of dumb. I mean, yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I wish I knew what Jack's vision was for these characters. Because really, like, the thing, or Ben, is Jack, right?
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
And I bet you, had he written the dialogue, maybe it wouldn't have been as, pleasant to the, you know, it wouldn't have been as poetic. But I think it would have been a little bit more the way we want it to be. Well, maybe it wouldn't have been as popular because the kids, you know, now I'm not saying they're dumbing it down for the kids, but maybe it wouldn't have been as popular.
This is still the era where Stan and Jack did a lot of collaboration. It was a little later on, I think, that Jack kind of did more of his own thing. Mm-hmm. Although, maybe not so much, because, I mean, there's the famous story about bringing in the Silver Surfer, but I think both of them created the Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I really do wonder what Kirby's vision was for these characters. Or if they just, well, it also probably evolved over time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we get the folk tale. Feels a little bit like they were more primitive in the story by page six.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're suddenly fighting with the spears and stuff. And it's just when Chala was a kid. I'm a little confused by the timeline.
Well, it's he's telling the story, and this is the origin of how they came about finding out about the vibranium and his dad dying by the hands of this mortal enemy. Or
that's more like, that's not that Wakanda was always rich. It's more like they discovered this incredible resource and helped them become so advanced. So they're not a country that's always been rich like England. It's more like they're a country like Korea, where they got wealthy within a generation or two.
Well, it's very similar to the colonizers, right? Like the European colonizers coming into Africa. Africa has oil. Africa is rich with resources. Europe is not.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to take it. And then I think what's different about this culture, kind of giving my non-expert opinion, what's different about this culture and other cultures and potentially countries that have had great resources is that the leadership actually used that resource to advance the society. So the actual culture, the built-in culture, is like a one that advances the entire sphere. Whereas you don't have like one head of the state that takes all the credit, like in Saudi Arabia, where like the chieftains get all the oil and there's still a lot of poor people. Wakanda advances the society as a whole.
Yeah, so they're the kings who are looking to lift up everybody as opposed to just leeching the money out of the society.
Should we keep going, because time check is like 10 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the page I pulled up the original for a minute ago. Actually, I think the original looks better than what we have here. The coloring is weird.
I mean, the coloring always ruins these amazing
Ulysses Claw and the death of T'Chaka. It's a pretty tragic moment.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby handles it well, I think.
Mm.
You get the drama there in panel two, but they look like these rogue elements. Faces almost look a little distorted, like they're just corrupted by their evil.
Mm.
And that panel four is just a beautiful like summation of like this. You could see Batman doing that. This could be Bruce Wayne screaming for his revenge.
And his costume does look like Batman a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, obviously very different.
Yeah,
that gun in panel five is massive. Looks like a Rob Liefeld gun,
but it doesn't weigh that much because it's vibranium, right?
Yeah, the sound blaster.
I like this page. If there was an original one, I would love to see it. Well, I'm sure there is, but it's gone or whatever.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. This first panel is probably is what you're really thinking of, right?
First panel, yeah.
Isn't that freaking incredible?
Mm-hmm.
God, Kirby really was just a master cartoonist. I mean, the pages is composed so well. That panel is like, it does exactly what he wants it to do. where he's got the guy in the foreground with the gun, and the burning village behind, and your eye immediately goes the way he wants it to go. It's just so well done. You know, who would have guessed, by the way, that Claw's big trauma in this issue is hurting his hand? It's like his dad really named him, his parents really named him an appropriate name. Well, the family had an appropriate name.
Swaps his hand for like machinery. We should jump to that. There's like a reveal, right? Like towards the end here.
Yeah, I think so. So he destroys his hand. What I took this as is like, because the hand's exposed to the vibranium, all the bones kind of turn into mush. So he's got the hand still, but he can't do anything with it now. Is that how you read it?
I thought he just hurt it, and then out of arrogance, just he swapped it out with something that would be more, you know, later on, which we'll see, that would be more dangerous. Yeah, I didn't really think of it in any way.
Okay. Middle of this page, doesn't it look like Ben's chewing the vibranium?
Yeah, it's like he's eating something.
Yeah.
He took a bite out of it.
Yeah. It's one of the cases where I think Kirby had something in mind and Lee just ignored it.
Wait, he's eating food. Oh.
No, it's a piece of vibranium, isn't it?
That's right. Wow.
But it looks like he's eating a cookie.
Yeah, I thought he was eating a cookie. That's terrible.
It's just weird, right? And then the action really begins this issue. Again, the explosion and the hurricane force from the monster.
Yeah, good battle. This is the part you come in for the action.
It's all been a precursor now. Now we finally get the all-out battle scenes.
This is why you have Ben here.
Right.
Not a stupid jokes.
You get Johnny swirling around and then Ben attacking. And yeah, it's a good battle scene, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Very traditional. Yes, Kirby keeps coming back to this kind of windstorm idea. We see this 3 or 4 times in the issue. And now I'm noticing, like, panel 2, this is similar to the scene with the Silver Surfer when he's attacking Ben. We get that offset image of Ben, this in the same design as panel 2. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
So you're seeing Kirby kind of go back to the same ideas again. Ben lifting up this mountain or giant rock anyway.
That's pretty cool.
I always love it when Kirby has the rock kind of falling away underneath him.
I love the like the giants, like he can show a little thing picking up a giant thing. I always like it when Ben fights Galactus too, like just kicking the foot or sort of like picking up the foot, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's gonna get crushed.
Yeah, always looks spectacular. And dude, that last panel.
Yeah. And then the next one after that, look at like next page, boom, jumps down.
It's great visual continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's flying along and then boom, he drops down.
This is where the Val Staples song comes in from the Black Panther song. Back, back.
Nice. Nice call out there. This might be my favorite page in the whole issue. The confrontation.
Sorry, Vince Staples. Val Staples is the anchor.
Yeah.
Vince Staples is their hip hop artist.
Okay.
Who did the soundtrack for Black Panther.
Okay.
One of the songs on the soundtrack.
Now I get it. Now I get the reference a little better. Those eyes in panel 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Crackle, the monsters. Oh, there's, yeah, right. There's Claw with his thingy on his hand. You can really see it here. See, I always took it as like his hand was turned into this. The vibranium hit his hand, it destroyed all the muscles in it, and the bones. and it became this kind of repository for vibranium energy.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Wow, that's a good theory.
I don't know if it makes sense. We'll see what people say for issues from that when we see the letters page.
I mean, does anything make sense? It's a comic.
not this tiger and this elephant creature, no. Mm-hmm. Living sound creatures. That's just a weird image, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's fun how Reed has this like hammock, creates a hammock of himself there in top panel. I really like the panther with the cape. I know it's controversial. I think it looks really good with the costume.
Mm.
How nice it looks on his back there. It just gives him, seeing it willowing in the wind, it gives it more energy.
Honestly, I don't like capes.
Okay.
Especially, I think it's really, I mean, he later on loses it with, right? Or is it?
Oh, yeah.
Does Kirby get rid of it, or just other people get rid of it?
I think other people get rid of it, but we'll see soon.
Okay, because I think I like that, because it's kind of distinctive.
I mean, if anyone's going to wear a cape, it should be a king, right?
Yeah, but not during battle.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You should take it off. Put it in there, fold it in the night, you know, because he's ironed it and stuff.
This last section feels like the ending of a James Bond movie to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Spectre's mountain is blowing up.
That's right, yeah. And a dude jumps up. Oh, yeah, it is just like that. And then the last panel,
jumping right. Up. Everything just disappears off.
Mm-hmm.
The entire hill shattered into nothingness. Yeah, he looks like James, like running away there in panel two. And then we get the promise of more.
Mm-hmm. I know, I like that, where he's all like, oh, well, it's done. My purpose is done. It's like, not now, you can save the world, Black Panther. Chala. Right.
And meanwhile, Claw, I'm going to continue my sound transformation. So everything continues because it's superhero comics.
Yeah. Cool.
Glad we got to dig into these. Thanks, Amir.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason.